Blog Talk Radio.
We also found a pair of shoes with cracked soles for the international. Can you imagine the
Welcome to IWDM. Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for tonight's show of Parenting and Family Reconstructing Learning Lab. Mark Shaheed and Sister Sally Dean provides our listening audience with an interactive conversation on effective parenting. This particular episode will focus on developing leadership skills in children, and our listeners are invited to bring questions as well as share their parenting experiences to the Learning Lab. With that, I introduce to you Mark Shaheed and Dr. Patricia Sally Dean. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam to you, Rashid Salam, and to Dr. Patricia Slaudin, and to our very astute IWDM radio listening audience. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ila ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger, and what follows in an excellent salutation and prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, facilitator, producer, along with Dr. Patricia Slaudeen of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, that's heard each and every Wednesday night here on IWDM Radio. And we want to welcome all of you that tune in tonight, and especially those who tune in for the first time to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, Dr. Slaudeen and myself. We want you to know that this is, in fact, your learning lab, and we ask that you bring any questions or comments that you may have on what is correct parenting, how to reconstruct a destructive family life. We ask you to bring it to the lab. So we invite you to ask questions or make comments on any of the information and education that we'll be disseminating tonight on tonight's topic. And Dr. Slaudeen and myself, we are much aware that many of you tune in and listen in by way of the Internet, and we would love you to be a part of this production, asking questions or making comments. And for you to do that, you do have to dial into the studio. And, of course, you need a pen and pad when you come to the Learning Lab, because Dr. Slaudeen and myself, we do believe there's going to be some noteworthy things that's going to be said tonight, and you want to take note and maybe ask a question, or you may want to elaborate on what has already been said. So bring an open mind, open heart, and bring your notebook, ink pen, or sharp pencil so that you can take notes. For those listening by way of the Internet, that call-in number to IWDM Radio is 714-816-4673. Once again, that's 714-816-4673. We'd love to hear from you. And we want you to know that this learning lab, the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, has a foundation. And we use three sources. The first source is Al-Quran, the final revelation to all of humanity. The second source is the life example of the prophet in demonstrating and living the Quran. And last but not least, the third source that we use is a tafsir, the clear explanation by a scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Warisuddin Muhammad. These are the three sources that comprise the foundation for the Parenting and Family Reconstruction and Learning Lab in terms of disseminating information and education when it comes to correct parenting, and how it is that we are to rebuild the destructive family life. So we ask that you do pay particular close attention and take good notes. We also have certain staples that have been established since the very inception of January 2017 on our sister station, AM 360 Radio, and now continued here on IWDM Radio. And we have given a very simplistic but a very profound definition when it comes to parenting. We simply say that parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big role and responsibility, and we want to, at this time, dismiss the misnomer, misconception, and perception that this is only the role and responsibility of the mother. It is also the role and responsibility of the father and mother, as the word family is father and mother in Eberle loving you. And these vital components that comprise the holistic human being is a dual role and responsibility. Also, another staple, that the role and responsibility of parents is to raise their children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities, first and foremost for themselves, then for their family, and then for their community. And we say, inshallah, which simply means, God willing, that we understanding consciously our role and responsibility to our children, obligation to our children, and having the proper relationship, that there will be some real leaders that can and will emerge from that way of thinking. Also, another staple that we establish here, that is Almighty God, Allah, that is the first teacher of all humanity. But once that life is born, Almighty God, Allah, has given the distinction, the honor and distinction to the mother to be the first teacher and the first leader, not only for our baby girls, but also for our baby boys. And it is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that has said that paradise lies at the foot of the mother. The mother will be the first to give the foundational knowledge to not only our baby girls, but our baby boys. And it has become a tradition here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab to always have an overview from the previous week. And I'm blessed to have as my partner one of the best to ever do it, that's Dr. Patricia Salahuddin. Assalamu alaikum to you, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin, and how are you today?
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Mark. I am doing well, and how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, as I'm always inspired and hyped each and every Wednesday, because I know it's the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And what it is that we're seeing and witnessing in society today as we watch and we listen to the news reports, not only in this country but around the world, if we ever, you understand, going to remake the world, it's a big mission, then it has to start in the first social institution in human society. That's the sacred institution of family life. Dr. Salahuddin?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Brother Mark. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. To hear the entire episode from last week, please go to blogtalkradio.com and select Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. The resource we are using for the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is Parenting Skills Based on the Quran and Sunnah by Dr. Ekram and Dr. Muhammad Rida Bashir. The book can be published from Amana Book Publications, www.amana-publications.com, and also from Amazon. In last week's episode, the topic was do not accuse in a direct way. The key element in this topic is giving advice and the manner in which it is given. The authors suggested that parents use the example of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, in giving advice or admonishing their children. The Prophet would admonish the believers using general terms. For example, he would say from the minbar, why are certain people saying such and such? And compassion and respect are two concepts that emerge from this topic also. The verses from the Quran used to support these two concepts during the discussion were Surah 31, Ayat, verse 14, Chapter 17, verse 23 through 24, Chapter 46, verse 16. The authors shared the following hadith in their discussion to illustrate the Prophet's perspective on compassion and respect, which states, the one who does not have mercy on our young ones and does not show respect to our elders is not from among us. And that's from hadith.
These verses and ahadith, the life example of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, are instructing signs from Allah. We point out that in the Quran and in the life example of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, Allah gave humankind the best way to relate to their children and how children should relate to their elders. Being kind and respectful are key elements for both parents and child. The Prophet himself was noted for showing kindness to children. We repeated the definition of parenting. We reminded parents that it is the process of nurturing and cultivating the moral, spiritual, and physical development of the child. The following is a summary of the points covered in the discussion. Number one, correct children in private, not publicly or in front of their peers. The advice will be better received if you do so. Number two, embarrassing and accusing or correcting in front of peers damages the child's self-esteem. Number three, use general terms when necessary to avoid direct accusations. Number four, do not yell or scold at children in front of other children. Number five, speak to the ear that is alive. Start early, letting children hear the Quran from you and the community. The parents have a role and responsibility to make sure children hear the Quran and Hadith throughout their youth. Let children know that the rules you are implementing have bases, and those bases are the Quran and Sunnah. Number seven, limit the influence of popular culture on your child. And number eight, teach by example and practice what you're teaching. Children learn by seeing. The authors also provided steps to correct unacceptable behavior in children. It included indicate, educate, and train. When you indicate clearly the mistake or unacceptable behavior. Be clear and specific in describing the behavior to the child. Educate. Use verses from the Quran or stories from Hadith to explain why the behavior is not acceptable. The Quran and Hadith will provide the directions for the human being. Train the child to frequently practice the desired behavior in the proper way with your guidance. Keep in mind that training does not make perfect immediately. The steps may have to be repeated several times before the child learns the proper behavior. Parents must be prepared to reteach with patience and understanding that some things take time to learn. It is necessary to always follow up with your child as you strive to instill in them desired behavior. And in conclusion, as shared by one of our listening guests, good manners and respect is always in order. We emphasize that it is the parents' responsibility to help children learn and practice good manners and respect. Implementation is important. In the Quran, we find direction for that as well as guidelines for everything else humans need to know to have a successful life. Pure and sincere relationship with our Creator will make a world of difference. And I will end with a quote that was shared with us by Brother Rashid from the great George Washington Carver, and it states, how far you go in life depends on you being tender with the young and compassionate with the aged, sympathetic with the striving, and tolerant of the weak and strong, because someday in life you will have been all of these. Back to you, Brother Mark.
Alhamdulillah, and that simply means, for those who don't know, that the praise and the thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost, always. And I just wanted to say kudos to Dr. Patricia Slaudine, as she always gives an excellent overview of some of the highlighted things that was said in last week's episode here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And I want to just make an addendum to that is that the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, reported as saying, that those who are not compassionate, those ones that are not compassionate to our young or our youth, and they're not respectful to our seniors, our elders, they are not of us. In other words, they are not of my way or my sunnah, and those, you understand, that follow me, they're not of us. And this is very, very important, because if, in fact, that we say that we are Muslims and that we are believers, we have to follow the way, the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, and those, you understand, that actually followed him in the behavior, you know, the uswa of the Prophet Muhammad. This is very important. And I hope that you took good notes, because Dr. Salahuddin gave some excellent highlights. Dr. Salahuddin, you remember that last Ayat 46. What was that one again, if you would please? You have it handy there.
I'm sorry, I was on mute. I put myself on mute right away.
Yes.
That was 46:16. And sure,
okay.
I
think it should be a correction there. It should be 46:15. The correct. Yes, ma'am. 46:15. I just wanted to make sure that our listeners get the correct information. I'm really familiar with that 46:15 of the Quran, where Allah said, "Be kind to your parents," and then He goes on to bring a consciousness, especially to the mother who bore
right.
you in pain, who delivered you in
yes.
pain,
yes.
and then suckle
yes.
you. That would be Surah 46, Ayat 15, and then,
Mark,
you know,
right.
what follows in that. So just to make that slight correction. So thank you so much, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin, and hopefully those things that was said that you took good notes, and as Dr. Salahuddin said, go back into the archives. Get the whole episode in its entirety. Take your time. Sit down. Listen. Get your notebook and pad. Take notes. And just go back and play it over and over again. It's a lot of information and education to be absorbed in that, as all of these productions on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. So, Dr. Salahuddin, we have, I think, a very intriguing topic tonight. And hopefully our listeners are already prepared to take good notes, but also to press one and come into the queue and ask questions or make comments, addendums, or, you know, if what they're hearing is resonating with you, we want to hear from you, and you can press one to come into the queue for that. So with that being said, get back to you. What is our topic tonight, and what are the co-authors, the Bashirs, giving for information?
Okay. Thank you, Brother Mark. I made that correction in my notes. Thank you very much. 46:15. Okay, so the topic today is choose the lesser of two evils. The author said, choosing the lesser of two evils is a great rule in Islamic jurisprudence that scholars deduce from the practices of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, and the teachings of the Quran. The great rule should be understood properly and applied wisely by parents in North America. On the one hand, we have come across a great number of cases where parents have failed to use this rule and have ended up driving their children away from Islam. Some of those children have been lost completely to mainstream North American society, while others have lowered their Islamic commitment and practices to unacceptable levels. On the other hand, we have also come across some parents who were wise enough to use this rule properly and, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ended up protecting their children from deviating from Islam. Most of these children are at a very good level of commitment to Islam and are now very strong practicing Muslims. Let us illustrate what we mean with a few practical examples. Would you like to stop here, Brother Mark, before we go into the examples?
Yeah, we can stop there and have a discussion. You know, on all the things that you read there, I mean, I think some powerful statements are there. What actually comes to your mind, you know, thus far, before you actually get in to the examples, anything outstanding comes to your mind, Dr. Sloan-Dean, that you'd like to share? I think you might be on mute. I think you might be on mute.
That's a habit I have. I think the one thing that we want to talk about first, it would be the title itself. So I know you have some things you wanted to say about the title.
Yeah. I'll say this, and then of course you can add to it. Yeah, when I heard that the title or the topic for tonight, it sent a little trouble through my heart in terms of choosing the lesser of two evils, and so immediately I began to think in terms of the Quran and what it is that I knew that God has said in the Quran first. You know, I always try to think with the Quran first and foremost. I do think always that the Bashirs have done an outstanding publication. That's why, as Dr. Patricia Slaudin always said, that it's a valuable resource in our community. But I think that sometimes we can get caught up in the language of Western society, you know, even when we are voting, you know, choose the lesser of the two evils. So we're going to put somebody in office that really don't represent us, nor does it represent our principle and values, but choose the lesser of the ones that we're going to put even because I don't trust any of them or whatever. That's not a good platform to start from. And so Allah bless me to remember that he said, instructed in the Quran, to choose the best thereof, in that regard, to choose the best thereof. And I think that that's 38, 39, and you can confirm that. And I think that when we have topics, we want to put the best construction around it because those particular words can give a misconception, a misperception as to what it is we actually want to do as parents, but also for our children, even when Allah gives to us what he gives to us in the Quran, he wants us to extrapolate the best of the meanings from the instructing sign. So that kind of struck me in that regard. So I just wanted to say that from the very beginning. And I think that when we go to the illustrations that they will be given, I think you'll be able to actually see the objectivity of the information that they are given. Dr. Sloan-Dean.
Right, and I will go on and read that that ayat for us, for the
yes.
audience.
Yes, ma'am.
39:18. I'm going 39. To start with I'm going to start with part of 17 because that gives more meaning.
Okay.
Give then this glad tidings to those of my servants who listen closely to all that is said and follow the best of it. For it is they whom God has graced with his guidance, and it is they who are truly endowed with insight. And this is from Muhammad Asad translation.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. I don't know in terms of, you know, when it is said in terms of listening and all, if that Quranic Arabia, and inshallah, when we come back next week, make note of that. Ishtajabu, that we actually had used that in Surah 42:38 of the Quran in terms of those who hearken unto their Lord, those who listen. But Ishtajabu actually is not only listening, but is also responding. But it's even more than just responding at our own pace or what. It's responding swiftly. So there's different terminology in the Quran, and emphasis, different terminology is used to put emphasis on the word, the message that Allah is conveying, which is so, so, so very important. So thank you for reading that, because that becomes the platform in which we want to look at in the practical applications for children of various ages. So I think it'd be good, Dr. Salahuddin, if you would go ahead and read the first practical application in the scenario that the Bashirs give in this outstanding publication, Parenting Skills, based on the Quran, the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Okay, so this example is, when it comes time for a young woman to wear a hijab, some parents insist that she wear long, loose dresses or skirts and a long kimar right away. While this is closer to the full hijab, it is often an extreme change for the young woman to make, and she may not feel ready for that. Parents must remember that at this age, teens are under tremendous peer pressure and are trying to fit in. They are seeking the approval of their peers and already feel different from their environment. We have come across cases where this has caused the young woman to completely reject the hijab and deviate from Islam. This is definitely the greater harm. Some parents see that the daughter does not feel ready to make a complete change and allow her to start by wearing loose pants and loose long sleeve shirts with her hair scarf. While this is the minimum for hijab and may not be considered by many as full hijab, it is better for the young woman to start off slowly and gradually make the change to looser clothing when she is ready. This way, we have avoided the greater harm of complete deviation from Islam by allowing the lesser harm of a temporary lower level of hijab. While the young woman is in this first stage of wearing hijab, the parents should help her strengthen her belief by using various activities such as spiritual nature trips, camps, and study circles so that she may feel more ready to move on to the next level. And that's the first example.
Yes, alhamdulillah, and excellent, excellent. Now, we want you to understand, we want you to understand the objectivity here in terms of looking at it from many of our youth or adolescents at the age and stage that they are in terms of wanting to be accepted in the peer group. However, what we always have to say in terms of approval, and it really kind of hit me when you said the approval, getting the approval and being accepted. This is something that naturally happens with, all young people in that socializing stage in particular. But we have to say to our young people, we always want to please Allah. Allah is first. That's the first thing that we always have to say. And we have to be good models for them. Now, you heard this quite a few times, but, we can't say to our children, do as I say, but not as I do, you see.
Right.
And we have to say to our children in a very simplistic way that the requirement is modesty, but we have to internalize that. This is what Allah has said, not only for girls, Muslims, but our males are Muslim. You know, boys coming from boyhood to manhood, that the same requirement is required for you in terms of modest dress. So now it becomes a culture and all. But as long as the dress is modest, you know, and realizing that it has to be loose-fitting, not form-fitting. This is very, very important because, as we talked earlier, it dawned on me that we should also alert our children that they can be a trendsetter. Yes,
right.
They can be a trendsetter, you know, in that regard. We don't have to, and there is not an urgency, a need to follow Western society dress, that we have our own dress, but the emphasis is put on modesty, and we can still look good. This is the thing, because we know we've been there, done that. We've been through that age. We've been through that stage. And oftentimes we want to be accepted, and we don't want to be looked upon as a nerd and all of those things. I don't know what the names are now, but I know back there when I was coming up, a square, then a nerd, and all of these things. But we can look good, you know, dress-wise. We're talking about physical dress-wise. But we have to remind our children what it is that God says in the Quran. And the best dress is that of righteousness, and we know that that is of taqwa. That's the internal dress. And we are addressing any and all things that it is that we put on. Do I wear that? You know, how do I look? How would I look to people? What perception actually would they have of me? And it's most importantly, is this pleasing to my Lord and Creator? This is very, very important. So I know you have something that you would like to say in regards to that, but we are to be excellent models as parents. So they can never say, well, but Mama, I saw you in some skin tights when you went to the store for tights or what. Or Danny, I saw you in a tank top, you know, displaying your shape and all, or biker shorts in that regard. So the requirements are the same for males as it is for females, and oftentimes you don't hear that, you know, when we are discussing this topic, and parents are having this issue in terms of dress. Oftentimes our children are influenced or impacted by what is the style. Let them know that they can be a trendsetter, and they can set the style, but they can still, it can still be cool, but it's within the parameters that Almighty God has set in the Quran for all of us that are God conscious. So I want to say to our radio listening audience, if you just tuned in late, you are listening to WDM Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slaudine and Mark Shahid. So we'd like to hear from you, and all you have to do is just press 1. If you're in the studio, press 1, and we like to hear your comments on this first scenario. And if you're listening by way of the Internet, you do have to dial in. That number is 714-816-4673. Dr. Slaudine, what insight can or will you share with us in regards to this first scenario? You know, this sometimes is a real problem and issue for many Muslims, and especially when they come into puberty, the adolescence, and getting ready to go from the modeling stage right into the socializing stage and want to be accepted. Dr. Slaudine?
Well, Brother Mark, one of the things that we have been saying along with being a model is also said start early.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one, that's from, that is a point that I want to emphasize. Start early. If you want your child to be modest and wear modest clothing, then you as a parent should start early doing that for them. So when they're little, their clothing should be modest. Little girls and little boys should dress like they with the modest clothing from the very beginning. Little girls should, you know, sometimes you see the little ones, they have on dresses, but there's nothing under the dress. That, you know, a Muslim child should have something under the little dress as opposed to not having anything under the dress. So she has the, she feels that everything is covered all of the time from the very beginning. And so when she's growing up, she feels, this is the way it feels natural and normal when I'm covered. Yes. And so when I'm uncovered, that doesn't feel natural or normal to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that if we have to early, we can't just wait until the child gets 12 years old and then you're going to start wrapping them up and covering them up. No, that's not going to work. And then when they're growing up, when they're little, when you're dressing them, it's the words that they hear. You know, when they are dressed up and they're looking modest and they're dressed in the dress code that we normally dress. I'm not talking about style, but I'm talking about the code, the dress code.
Yes.
Then you're talking to them about, you're telling them, oh, this is very pleasing to Allah. You know, it's the conversation that you're having with them, the words that they hear, the praise that you're giving them. You're doing this for the pleasure of Allah. Look, this is a beautiful dress. Allah would be pleased with this dress. Allah is, you know, or may Allah be pleased with this dress. They are hearing this all of the time from you, the parent. And so when they get to be 12 years old, they, or whatever age you want to start applying modesty to them, they're already there. They're there already with you, you know. So that's the point I want to make.
That's a very, very, very sharp point that you bring up, Dr. Slodean. You know, as we go through the age and stage with our children in the application of that with them, so that there's a level of comfortability that's there with them. And I think the other point that should not be underscored is words of affirmation, and you know, from even the family, not just the mother, oftentimes dressed the children, but fathers. You see, this is called the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. We want to reconstruct the thinking that has been a destruction in terms of family life. And, of course, we see this every day. If you step outside your door, wherever you may live here in the continental USA and perhaps other country, but it's noted that United States of America, they have probably the most loose-dressed people in the world. That now, you understand, not only wearing skin tight, I forget the other mini skirts or the short shorts and everything, but I have heard that there are some that even pretty much, I remember a few years ago, was coming out in their PJs, nightwear, underwear.
Yeah.
You see how this is a digression, this is a regression, you know, in terms of even having a moral compass in regards to how it is that we look, but it becomes a reflection. You see, this is why we have to address the dress. You have to address the dress, you see. And Dr. Slodean is so on point that it comes in gradual stages. And we have to be there from the very beginning as we begin to address our children, but also to address them in terms of the value, the respect that you want to have. You always want to have respect for yourself. And there are certain parts of your body that should not be exposed under no circumstances, and all. And you have to be that model. But the words of affirmation becomes a confirmation for our children and a level of comfortability. And then let them know, hey, your peers should be looking at you and wanting to model you and say, where do you get your clothes from? I like to wear what you wear.
Exactly.
As long as you're modest, and we should associate beauty with modesty. That's another thing, Dr. Saraldine, associate beauty with modesty. And so we want to defuse our young people who think that saying years ago, let it all hang out, show everything. You know,
right.
We want to dismiss that misnomer. Seem like you have something else you want to say and want to go to Rashid Salam to see if we have any hands in the air in regards to this. I know he has something to say, but Dr. Saraldine, I can feel the vibration here. You have something else you want to say.
Well, definitely the showing children, teaching them. One of the other things is keeping them in environment that value what you value, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if they're always around people who are not Muslim and don't dress the way that they dress, then
mm-hmm.
there's going to be an inclination to want to dress like the way the people
mm-hmm.
that they're associating with. So we as parents should make sure that our children are also in an environment with people who value the same thing that we value and
yes.
are striving to reach the goals that we are striving to reach. So not to isolate our children. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying
mm-hmm.
that you should create environments for your children to be with people who value what you value. So they can have friends who are also striving to be modest and to wear modest dress. And I definitely agree with you. We should be, our children, and we and our children should be setting the trends, not
That's right.
following the trends.
Absolutely. I say that's a big alhamdulillah. The praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. Let's go to Rashid Salam before we go further. Hopefully we complete it. If not, inshallah, it'll be a part two to this. Rashid Salam, I know you always taking notes. You're a note taker from way back. You probably got a pile of notes that need to be compiled and put in a book. Do we have any... believers that listen in with their hands in the air. Come on, believers, you out there. I know you've been through this here before, even if you weren't a Muslim, a second-generation Muslim, but then you became a Muslim and you had to raise up children. You know, that had to be a challenge to you. So hopefully that something that Dr. Saraldine and myself have said tonight, this will be very, very helpful to you, or even if your children are grown and gone, it'd be helpful to your children in terms of raising their children, which would be your grandchildren, to respect yourself. That song says, respect yourself, you know, and the first form of respect is self-respect. And we have to say to them that how you look at yourself is how people will look at you in that regard. Rashid, any hands in the air, or what do you have to share?
Well, there's no hands in the air currently, Mark, and this is my favorite show. I was that not Muslim when I was growing up before I became a Muslim, so when I had to raise my children prior to
mm-hmm.
I think Sister Dr. Patricia Salton said it very best, When do you mm-hmm. start that, you know, that early language,
right.
those early
mm-hmm.
compliments, that consciousness
mm-hmm.
that you put into them, making them aware, you're pleasing the creator of the universe, but you, in order to say those things to them, you have to still give them that foundation on
mm-hmm.
what's right and what's wrong, the foundation of who God is, the foundation of, you know, not talking about the Quran, but living that Quran, to put that Quran
mm-hmm.
in them. You know, so that this extremity that we go through every day, which I had a problem with prior to accepting this way of life, the influences of the radio, the influences of TV, the influences of
mm-hmm.
music. But more importantly, I think you said it best, it's the environment that creates the values. It's whatever
yes.
the environment that you live in, and most of us did not have other Muslim friends close by. So they're people on your block. What do you do with that child? That's when we begin to engage our children into activities outside of their community life. And what a wonderful subject matter. That's all I can say.
Alhamdulillah, and thank you for that. And I think something else that Dr. Slaudin said, we have to really put emphasis on, and she said it so eloquently in her articulation, is that we don't want to isolate our children. But we want them, we have to be very, very selective in terms of the environment that we put them in. They need to see other young people that look like them and have the same principles and values, you know, that coming from their home environment, from the family life and all. That reinforces, that becomes a reinforcement. You know when they say it takes a village to raise a child, well, the religious institution was part of that village, Rashid and Dr. Salahuddin, that the religious institution, we happen to be Muslims, so in being Muslim, we should be thankful and grateful, and we need to provide that social environment for our young people. It's not like we're so separated or divorced from what it is that they like to do, especially when they are coming into that third stage in terms of socializing and socialization, the opportunity to do that, we should help to provide that environment, you know. And I think that will actually become an enforcement for the principles and values that we are trying to teach, and that should be an extension to the community life and building the model community life, knowing and understanding that our children at that age and stage, they want to be in that type of environment where they are socially connected, accepted, and it become a nurturing. I just gave you the acronym for the word CAN, C-A-N, that all children want to be connected, accepted, and in a nurturing environment. And they don't want to be abandoned, and they don't want to be rejected, and they don't want to be in an abusive environment where they're laughed at, made fun of, and all of that. So let's take that in consideration. So if we don't have any callers, we do ask you, you may not have a question or comment, but if what's being said, is it resonating with you, radio listen noise, and if it is, we do ask you press 1. So if not, Dr. Slaudin, I know it's a little bit more, another scenario that they have, I think is interesting. Let's see how far we can get with that. Dr. Slaudin.
Okay. Sure. Okay, our second example relates to memorizing the Quran. Some parents who want their children to memorize the Quran have very specific objectives regarding the amount to be memorized. For example, parents may set a goal, such as requiring the child to memorize a certain number of surahs by the time he has reached a certain age. Parents may have even set an age for them for when they expect their child to have the whole Quran memorized. There is nothing wrong with setting targets for the child. However, if the child is very, very resistant to memorizing or is constantly complaining that he is missing out on the fun that his peers are enjoying because he has to stay home to memorize, then he is at risk of hating the Quran. In this situation, the child is not likely
to maintain a good relationship with the Quran when he is older and his parents no longer control his time. Some parents will not pay attention to this and will continue to push the child. This will lead the child to completely abandon the Quran and its teachings when he is older because he only associates it with missing out on significant parts of his childhood. This is by far the greater evil. Other parents may notice their child's resentment and make modifications to decrease the amount of Quran that he has to memorize so that he does not feel overwhelmed or pressured. This is the lesser evil. Although the child will not have memorized as much, he will be more receptive to the meaning and will maintain a good relationship with it. He will also be more likely to memorize more of it on his own when he is older. This is consistent with the teachings of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, who said, do your best in what I have commanded you to do and completely avoid what I have prohibited. In addition, Abdullah ibn Musab, and who said, we used to memorize the Quran 10 verses at a time. First, we would memorize the verses, then we would apply them. Then we would move on to the next 10 verses. This way, we learn knowledge as well as how to apply it. This stresses the importance of applying what has been memorized of the Quran. Therefore, if the child in the above scenario has memorized the entire Quran but does not appreciate, understand, or apply it, nothing has been achieved. We want to make it very clear that we are not discouraging Quranic memorization. Instead, we're pointing out that just as with everything else, parents must be careful of how they approach it with their children and ensure that their method is not driving their children away from Islam.
Wow, I said alhamdulillah, and that simply means that the praise and the thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. And you know we are close to the top of the hour, Dr. Slaudeen. So we really want to give this scenario, which is a real life issue and challenge. And I know personally some that actually have done that, have been guilty of doing that, and they weren't even consciously aware of what it actually that they were doing. And we know that this is a balanced life, and you know, we'll just say that the guests that I have coming on after the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, this is director of the DNA, the W.D. Muhammad Annual Convention in Inkster, Michigan, sort of outside of Detroit, Michigan, and or what I know that they have done in terms of having a camp each year for the youth and young adult Muslims, and what is actually planned. There's a balance. That's a balance that's there. Knowing and recognized in terms of the natural urge that they have and those things that are needed and necessary, but also the opportunity to have fun. And oftentimes it's looked upon in terms of learning something. It's not fun and it can't be rewarding and all. So I would say we would probably need to table this, Dr. Patricia Smallstein, because this is a very, very important topic, and it needs to have the time, you understand, to really just go in deep with that in terms of what it is that God says and what it is that his Rasul, his messenger, actually demonstrated even in his life as a life example that we should be striving to model ourselves after and actually teach our children too. So Dr. Slaudeen, we're at the top of the hour. And I want to give you a minute for any closing remarks. I think that this is really an outstanding topic that we've taken on out of this resource book, Parenting Skills Based on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet, Practical Application for Various Ages and All. Dr. Saladin?
Yes, Brother Mark, I definitely agree with you. These are real-life situations where we are faced with as parents, and the children are faced with it with us. So it's definitely worth getting back, continuing with it, and give it some more time. And looking forward to continuing with it next week. Inshallah.
Yes. Well, I want to thank our radio listening audience for tuning in this first hour. We want you to stick and stay. Please don't stray away. The MGM Roundtable is following. And we want to thank always Dr. Patricia Salaluddin for sharing her insight and wisdom each and every Wednesday here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And I want to extend the greetings of peace to her. Hopefully she can stick and stay for a little bit and hear the guests for the upcoming production. Assalamu alaikum to you, Dr. Patricia Salaluddin.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Mark. Wa alaikum assalam, everyone.
Alhamdulillah. There you have it, the first hour here, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Salaluddin. And yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And we're going to take a pause for the calls before our next production. So we're going to ask you to stick and stay. Please don't stray away. You don't want to miss the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And our very distinguished and esteemed guest, Imam Munir Muhammad, the director of the DNA, the W.D. Muhammad Annual Convention in Inkster, Michigan, will be joining us. So get a sip of water and just relax yourself. And we're going to take this pause for the calls. We'll be right back.
Covered all over, wrapped in God's love. Covered all over, a woman truly worthy of. Covered all over, from head to toe. Dressed by God above, who could ask for anything more? I know sometimes things don't go right. No matter how hard you might try, seemingly you just can't win the fight. People talk about the way you dress. Lord knows they talk about you. But to the Muslim brother, you are a flower in the early morning dew. Oh, covered all over, wrapped in God's love. Covered all over, a woman truly worthy of. Covered all over, from head to toe. Dressed by God above, who could ask for anything more? Out of all you're the only one in place. out of all the women in this whole wide world, you're the only one to bring a smile to the master's face. On the judgment day, I'm sure he'll say, into the garden, my flower, I prepared it for you this day. You were strong, you held on tightly to me. Yes, you did, yes, you did. So I wrap you up in my words.
And we're back, and I am Mark Shaheem, the host and producer of the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And as always, for each production, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ila ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is with God's name. The merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets. He is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host and the producer of the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable that is heard nationally and internationally. And we'd like to extend the greetings of peace, the peace that only Almighty God, Allah, can give, that becomes an obligation not only on the giver, but the recipient of that greeting of peace. Assalamu alaikum. And those of you that tune in each and every Wednesday after the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab here, you know that I like to bring and present to you very distinguished and esteemed guests. Inside the community, inside what community? The community of Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad, but also outside of the community and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. No less today, as I'm so very, very honored to have back with us my good brother and friend, hard-working brother. I consider him to be one of the hardest working brothers that I know, and I say this sincerely from the heart, you know, when you, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, you really don't get to know somebody. He used three things. He said, have you ever traveled with them? Have you ever given them anything of value to keep? And then the third thing, have you ever worked with them? Were you ever seen them actually working? That's another thing. And if the answer is yes to one or all three of them, then you really do get to know them. So it's such an honor to have back Imam Munir Muhammad, who is the resident imam there in Durham, Michigan, of W.D. Muhammad Islamic Center there in Durham, North Carolina. I said Michigan. I'm sorry, North Carolina and all. And he's also the director of the DNA, the W.D. Muhammad Annual Convention that's held in Inkster, Michigan. That's why Michigan was on my mind, Inkster, Michigan. I haven't been to Durham. I've been to North Carolina, the Queen City, Charlotte, but not Durham. So inshallah, I'll make that visit. But I'd like to extend the greetings of peace, which is also a dua to our brother, and welcome him to the MGM Roundtable. Imam Muhammad, assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Brother Imam Munir Muhammad, for joining us again. It's always an honor to have you here at the MGM Roundtable. And, you know, I don't take any of my guests for granted. You've always been very obliging ever since I've known you. And this platform is not a platform for me. It is a platform that's designed to serve God's cause and will for what it is that we should be doing as believers. And it's designed for those who are workers in the community striving to make a difference in the community. So it's an honor to have you back with us as the director of the DNA, the W.D. Muhammad annual convention held each year along Labor Day time in Inkster, Michigan. So once again, welcome.
Thank you very much. Praise be to Allah. Appreciate the invite, and I pray that we will do justice to what you're asking us about.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. I always like to maximize the minimum. Minimum is always time. So, you know, Brother Imam, you are the director of this convention, and this convention has been going on for quite a few years. We always have some new listeners. So if you would just briefly, succinctly, just give a little backdrop on this convention and any also input and impact or influence that our beloved leader and teacher, Imam Waifuddin Muhammad, has on this. Why in Inkster, Michigan? Imam Munir Muhammad, once again, assalamu alaikum. Welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Again, we say we appreciate the opportunity to come on your show and your platform to invite the believers to join us for the Detroit Noble Annual DNA WDM Muslim Convention. Why Inkster, Michigan? Imam Muhammad, our leader, is very clear and told us that we should go back to number one. And he began counting, and he gave a very heartfelt public address and shared with us the importance of going back to number one to start all over again, to reestablish our life. And you cannot, meaning our community life and build model community life, without first recognizing who you are and where you come from. So going back to Detroit, Michigan, where it all began, the leader was very wise in encouraging us to do so, and he said there'll be blessings that you see and blessings that you don't see. And we bear witness, God has, despite trials and tribulations, that's what the human being is on his to show, to qualify for God's ultimate mercy and being in a state of paradise, not just when we die, but when we, as we fulfill our obligation before God, then we can touch and experience that heavenly state right here on this earth while we're breathing. So, so we've basically followed the leader's advice and encouragement. And when he told us that at the time, the Cobra Hall management, they were very good hosts, gracious hosts, and they treated us very well with honor and dignity. And he said, as long as that continued, then we should remain there. But subsequently, things have been sold, management moved in, moved out. Other organizations requested the same dates, and God blessed us to eventually move out and find our own facility, which is called the Inkster Educational Center for Human Excellence, dedicated to the life works of the Honorable Elijah and Sister Claire Muhammad, and therefore highlighting the works of our leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, and putting a material body on his works.
Alhamdulillah, that's the praise and thanks belongs to Allah. For those who don't know that, I don't like to use language, and there are some that are not Muslims. That just means that that all the praise and the thanks belongs to God. We don't accept any of the praise and thanks. So you just heard Imam Munir Muhammad say that what Allah blessed them with. And I just want to just say I'm a witness. I've been there, but I was also a witness in Detroit. The last khutbah that our beloved teacher and leader Imam Wahdi Muhammad gave, he was very explicit. He was very, very clear in what his desire was and what it is that he wanted to see. And just as Imam Munir Muhammad articulated, that is what it is that they have followed, and Allah bless Imam Ezekiel Pasha, Imam Munir Muhammad, and other believers that also heard that and following the leader. That's a book that's out. If you don't have that, you need to get that. Follow the Leader, edited by Imam Ronald B. Shaheed, a good brother of mine, in the personal conversation that he had with him, and that followed the leader. So, Brother Imam, let's move into this conversation in terms of the invitation that I extended to you. One of the things that you said, you know, want this to be clear, you know, because last year that was something that was said, I think in the khutbah, if I recall, that Imam Pasha gave in terms of the change in the name. Let's give some insight in terms of DNA, and that was an acronym at first saying one thing, but as many know that we always, as Imam Muhammad was always evolving language, the evolving of Detroit Noble. Give the radio listener audience something in regards to that, if you would, a little backdrop for that.
Okay, well, the initial thrust, the name of the organization was Detroit National Annual DNA, which those three letters are DNA.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
WDM, Muslim Convention.
Mm-hmm.
And so the title had been selected via Shura with all the leaders that are represented on the national committee. And we discussed it, and we said, if we come from the loins of the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad, then we should be about making sure that our DNA is a reflection of who he said he was.
Yes.
And what he had brought to us. So Detroit National Annual was first used, but then as good students, we were reminded by one of the good students and close friends of Imam Muhammad, brother,
Rafi
Muhammad.
Yes.
And that the Imam had encouraged us to get away from the word national, because as a body of believers, we didn't no longer had a national body. And the Imam clearly said that he was distinguishing his leadership from anything else, including us as a community. So to be consistent with that and to be in the best of modes and following the leader, we agreed to change it from Detroit Noble to from Detroit National to Detroit Noble, and meaning that we are a righteous community, we are a virtuous community, we are honest, we are upright, we have done the very best we could to honor what the leader not only said with his tongue, but he articulated, and that he practiced. And so any who know that have come to the DNA or to the DNA WDM Muslim Convention know that we've always followed in the leader's path and have never overcharged the believers, have never made prices extraordinary high, so that families had to choose who could come and who couldn't come. We never did that. So myself and Sister Lois Muhammad out of Nashville, Tennessee, we both came up with the name Noble after everyone was searching and looking for different words that we can that would describe what we were doing as a committee, and honoring the name of Imam W.D. Muhammad. So, Noble. What really hit for us when we found the definition of noble as saying having or showing fine personal organizational qualities of which moral principles are met.
Yes.
And that really
really fit it. Perfect.
So all of that really stuck with the committee.
Yes.
And we said, you know, we would, and this year, God willing, all our banners have been updated, and the leaders will see now the banners reading DNA Detroit Noble Annual WDM Muslim Convention.
I said, Takbir, Allah, will Akbar. And for those who don't know, Takbir is glorify God. And we say Allahu Akbar, meaning God is greater, God is bigger, and God is more important, because anything that we say and do, Allah has, that is of good now. That we want to be clear, just not anything we say and do, because it may not be right. But when it's good, you know, it's good. We acknowledge that God is greater, bigger, and more important, and that the inspiration, as you heard Imam Munir Muhammad speak, has come from God and his guidance and all, because we are all noble. That's the way Allah created us. And being conscious of that, that's a beautiful, beautiful name. So thank you so much. Now, Brother Imam, let's get into this year, 2023 Detroit Noble Annual W.D. Muhammad Muslim Convention here in Inkster. And it's, boy, time is really flying, Brother Imam, talk about it a little bit to us. Give us what it is that those, if they attend, and, you know, those that have gone, and hopefully we have some on the line that will press one and attest to some of the things that you're going to be saying. I mean, I can be the first to advocate here on the MGM Roundtable, Muslim Global Message Roundtable, that this is the convention that you really, really, really want to attend, because something you said, this is our property. This is a request of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And so there's a realization of this, actually, and some people just don't know. Brother Imam, talk to us. What can we look forward to on our own property this year, and when does it start?
Well, the dates are, of course, begins Friday, September 1st, and concludes Monday, September 4th. Again, in honoring the language and insights of our leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, and his life works, we came up with a theme to encourage and inspire the believers and families, friends, and associates to join us in this effort. And the theme is building a community is ordered by God. It's a mission.
Say that again. Now, oh boy, that's words make people. These are powerful words, Brother Imam. Please, if you would, give it to us again so we not only can ingest it, but that we
yes,
be
sir.
Able to digest it. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Building a community is ordered by God. It's a mission. Join in the work to establish our life.
Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. Wow. Powerful, powerful, powerful. the theme, you know, in most every convention or conference, what generally have a theme in living up to that that theme. So that should be intriguing right there. Even if you got no more information, I'd like to know, you understand, because I know there's got to be a powerful message because of what the theme and the words are actually the implication of them. So starting September the 1st, I know it always have been customary and traditional in our community, as Imam Muhammad, you know, even led us to that would be the best day of the week, mm-hmm. the best day of the month, and the best day of the year, Salatul Jummah day, Friday. Brother Imam, talk to us about Friday.
Yeah, as you mentioned, you know, the Jummah is the highlight, which actually begins and sets the tone, as our leader indicated, that we should never begin a weekend of activities without highlighting the Jummah.
Yes.
So that's what we plan. That's what we plan to do. And in that same spirit, as we've done traditionally in the past, afterwards, our Clare Muhammad School and our Clare Muhammad School summer camp students
mm-hmm.
will present, again, as they've done in the past, educational panel with youth presentations. And matter of fact, we're in camp mode now.
Mm-hmm.
We had to come back, leave campus today, and they went skating and went out
mm-hmm.
to eat, and they got a chance to experience some private time with Imam Pasha, and while I was running around taking care of some other business. And right now, they're actually listening to your show at camp.
Well, let me say to them real quickly, I want to extend the greetings of Assalamu Alaikum to all the you young Muslims out there that have been in camp. I want to extend the greetings of peace not only for myself, but for IWDM Radio and all. And actually in the last production, I don't know if you got a chance to hear it or not, but toward the tail end, actually, I mentioned in terms of the camp, this annual camp that you all have there, and the topic that we was talking on in terms of actually giving that balance for our young people. You know, they have to learn, but they have to have fun too, and it's a beautiful balance that you all provide for the camp. And so that might be something that may be intriguing and interesting to our listeners, too. So we want to extend the greetings of peace to the listeners, and especially to our young people. Brother Imam, you can continue.
Yes, sir. So praise be to Allah. Yes. So we're excited, and as the believers last year, we're excited to hear them and hear them speak about their experience. And we look forward to them. And actually, they are planning to make a presentation because we show them a lot of pictures of different years. And
mm-hmm.
So they're planning, they're working together as a team to present something real nice to the believers and encourage the believers and all the other parents and youth and guardians, you know, to give CMS summer camp, which is a 2-week summer camp, which is also on our property, 133 acres of land that we own, no mortgage. It is ours. You know, it ties in to where, you know, what you're asking me is
oh yes.
After
I like that we own that. It goes back to have some of this earth of your own. Yeah, I know you might remember that language, but I was in the Nation of Islam under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we must mm-hmm. get something of our own, your own land.
Yeah. So we're working that, and the kids are there. As you mentioned, the balance that we have, we begin
mm-hmm.
Each morning. These kids get up at 4 a.m. We end the masala, making prayer
mm-hmm.
at 4:45 a.m. And
mm-hmm.
Then they hear myself or Imam Pasha sharing with them the language and insights of Imam W.D. Muhammad and encouraging them to be thinkers and ask their opinions, get it,
mm-hmm.
Encouraging them to learn how to speak and project their voices and not be afraid to be heard.
Yes.
And then afterwards they do their chores and interact and then maybe take a nap, but then eat breakfast. And then their classes begin. Experts have come in from all over the country. Believers have stayed there on campus with us for 2 weeks and are teaching them and sharing many different topics. Expertise with them. And then, like you said, afterwards we leave the campus after lunch and we take them on some fun activities for them to enjoy being Muslim, young Muslim. We look forward to their presentation. But then Friday this year, as well, you're asking me, we normally have our formal buffet dinner and live entertainment on Saturday. But
yes.
in the effort to try to get the conventioners, the believers, to enjoy the time and have the time more well spent, we're switching the formal buffet dinner to Friday evening because Friday is the best day. And then we have our fashion show in a live entertainment after dinner on Friday.
Oh, alhamdulillah. A big change. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
You know, but for those who are not aware of just what it is that you said, this had been the tradition. But, you know, we're always looking to evolve and looking at everything, taking everything in consideration, you know, and I know they do everything by sure, correct, Brother Matt?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, we do. We conduct our affairs by sure, and we also have young people who are part of our National Convention Committee, and
mm-hmm.
we need more younger people because we have some of them that's going off to college, and they, you know, we teaching them how to manage it all. And
yes.
So some things they, you know, they believe that they got to give their full and undivided attention to something else,
mm-hmm.
and get to us when they can. But you know, we need more young people to join in the effort. But we do have young people who are still advising us and giving us advice on what they would like to see at the convention.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one of the big suggestions that was made. So that on Saturday, the workshops, which focuses on business, education, government, good government, culture, and health,
mm-hmm.
that we can enjoy that along with our outdoor grilling cookout.
Mm-hmm.
And then
on Saturday, this is all on Saturday.
Yes.
This is all on Saturday, correct? That remains.
Correct. And, you know, the recreational activities, all the recreational activities, indoor and outdoor, for all ages of the younger people and some of us more senior people. We've had some other outdoor games, even the older, more senior persons enjoyed. And so what it does is give us an opportunity to, for those who are interested and like to skate, it gives us
mm-hmm.
opportunity to join the general public at our own
mm-hmm.
at our own skating rink on Saturday.
On Saturday. Now, that's a, yeah. I want to say to radio listening audience, that's a big change because I've been going, you know, several years in a row now. Generally speaking, that had been established on Friday. So there's going to be quite a bit that we can look for on Friday. But now the switch up is that, and this is a public skating rink, and Billy Ma'am, this is our property also, Billy Ma'am.
Yes, yes. So, yes, we the Insta Family Skating Rink is owned and operated by us as well. And praise be to Allah, but again, you know, on Fridays when we had it, we were having a private party. And so we want to invite the community and the general public to join in with us because we have guests coming to join us for the convention who may not, in the traditional way, may not have taken Shahada Tain, but in their efforts to support us and be there for us as a support, they've joined in many different efforts that we have. So we want to go out on Saturday evening and enjoy skating with the general public rather than have our private party and is exclusively for us.
Yeah, I want to say that's a big alhamdulillah, praise and thanks belong to Allah. You know, and, you know, consciously awareness is that all it is that we can share, we can spend out of what it is that Allah has said that that we have given to you. And most certainly Allah has given to us much, and being able to spend or share that is very, very important. Because Allah bless the community there in Inkster with the top official, you know, establishing a good rapport there with the Muslims and actually saying that, how he supported. And really, to be honest, Brother Imam, with Allah's grace, first and foremost, the Muslim community really saved this municipality that is called Inkster, Michigan. Buddy, ma'am?
Say that again for me so I'll make sure I understood what
you said. I said with Allah's grace that, you know, in providing us what it was that the leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, had asked of Imam Ezekiel Pasha, really, it saved the municipality of Inkster, Michigan. And
right.
Was blessed to have a mayor that see the benefits in what the Muslims are doing there. And he's right on board with it.
Yeah, that's correct. And like I said, we have our family, friends, and associates and others, including the mayor and some other municipality there that's on board, you know. But any good works, any good deeds that you're doing, you know, there's always going to be challenges. There's always going to be influence of that schemer, that diabolical schemer.
You know, yeah, most definitely. So the test is a trial, you know. I'm aware of that. And but you know what Allah always says, that the believers will be victorious. He will win out in the end. And I think that you have experienced that. So we want to say to our radio listening audience that you, if you tune in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And we have, as our very distinguished esteemed guest, Imam Munir Muhammad, who is the director of the Detroit Noble Annual WDM Muslim Convention 2023. We want you to press 1. You got any questions? You got any comments that you'd like to make? Or if what you're hearing is resonating with you, it should be warming your heart and your soul to know what it is that we have in the community of Imam WDM Muhammad. And this is still his community. And We like to hear from you. You have those listening by way of the internet. I'm quite sure Imam Muhammad will want to hear from you also, and you have to dial in as we get ready to take a pause for the calls. You've got to dial in to IWDM Radio. IWDM Radio, that number is 714-816-4673. That's 714-816-4673. Press 1 as we take a pause for the calls. Going to ask you to stick and stay. Please don't stray away. We'll be right back after this break.
Have you ever felt a cool summer breeze? Yeah. Have you ever tried to fulfill a want or a need? God is with you all the way, strengthening your heart and soul, guiding your way. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Life's a struggle, brother, from birth. Get a chance to get your breath. Work hard, brothers, to save your very, very soul. Make sure the whole world understands the law and full control. Heart and soul, a struggle, brother.
Yes, and we're back, and I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host and the producer of the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And it's an honor to have our brother and friend, Imam Munir Muhammad, to join us here on the MGM Roundtable. I want to thank our engineer for playing that selection by my good brother and friend, Imam Umar Siddiqui. I want to just say to those of you a few years back, and of course, Imam Munir Muhammad, I know he remembered that when he was an invited guest to the DNA, that's the Detroit Noble Annual WD. Muslim Convention, outstanding, I would say, entertainer extraordinaire. And we had heard he had been a little under the weather, but he was getting better. So please keep Imam Umar Siddiqui in your duas. And so before we go back to Imam Munir Muhammad, as he continues to inform us, as he has Sunday, and I think you're going to see it's a very special treat that's new this year for the DNA, WD Muhammad Muslim Convention. We want to see if there are any hands in the air, they're pressing one, they want to ask a question or make a comment to anything our guests have given to us in terms of information for this year, 2023, in Inkster, Michigan. Rashid Salam, want to know, are there any hands in the air, or do you have a question or comment that you'd like to make to our guest?
No, there are no hands in the air, Mark, and I'm sitting here trying to get my reservations together, so.
Get your reservations together. Yeah, you know, hey, you can never start too early. Because we're going to have him need some information in regards to early bird specials, all of this, right. And so we're going to have an opportunity to disseminate that information. So maybe a radio listener is just in listening mode tonight, and I'm quite sure they have to enjoy what they're hearing, because I know I'm enjoying. And I've been there and done that, but I always get very excited and look forward to attending.
Yes,
so, Brother Imam, you know, coming back to you giving a rundown on what is being planned and some changes that have been made, obviously, whenever you make changes, Amarhun Shurabainahun, you realize that, and you're always looking to evolve to make good better and better best in this case. So you've given us Friday, which is loaded, Saturday, which is loaded, now Sunday, and then you have Monday. So if you could get us through Sunday, and what is it that you have to introduce in regards to what's being planned, inshallah, that Sunday there in Inkster, Michigan, and then also Monday. Brother Imam?
Well, on Sunday, praise be to Allah, we have added to the DNA calendar a sunset cruise with the theme is actually called Motown Dinner Cruise.
So it's called Sunset Cruise?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, Sunset Cruise, y'all. Listen up. Go ahead, Brother Man.
But it's Motown, the technical language from the boat people is Motown Dinner Cruise.
Motown
Dinner
Cruise. Okay.
And you have a free, well, not free. Once you pay, it's free. buffet dinner. Which includes seafood. And so the deadline to purchase your tickets, which is $75, before the deadline is July 20th. So
July 20th, is that for the cruise, or is that
for the cruise?
Okay, $75, yeah. And this is the sunset.
Cruise.
The sunset cruise with the emphasis on Motown sound, you know? I might not be saying it like you, but...
No, you're saying it correct.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah. And this includes a very nice dinner, and seafood will be a part of that menu, and for that, that's a $75 cost. But everything included for that cruise, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Alhamdulillah. And the cutoff date, if you are going to be there and not be late, is July what?
20th.
July the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
That's just around the corner. What is the day? The day is the 12th or the 13th? 13th, I think it is. Yeah, so we got... So, all right, believers, you got a week. So you ain't got much time to be thinking about this. You understand? Go ahead and get that money in, because you don't want to miss that a cruise.
Well, I mean, Brother Mark, they can miss that date, but it's going to cost a little bit more.
Okay. So you want to give some information on that? This is like... almost like early bird special on that.
This is early bird special in regards to the cruise. And then you go to dnamuslimconvention.com,
okay,
the website, for your registration. And the deadline for early bird registration is also July 20th.
So we want to be very explicit and clear here. dear believers. It's very simple. I think I got it. You know.
Hold on. Let me correct myself.
Oh, that's
myself.
In August, isn't it?
Let me correct myself. The pre-registration deadline is August 6th.
August 6th.
That's for registration.
That is for early bird special. So you got to August 6th for coming to the convention and also registering. You get
correct.
A cut price if you do that before or by August the 6th. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. But if you go beyond that time, what you're saying, you can still come. You can
right.
come even the day of and have nothing paid for, but it's going to
mm-hmm.
cost you more.
Correct.
Okay.
And that's understood. Anywhere, anything that you do.
Oh, yeah.
But like you
absolutely.
Said, you know, our prices are reasonable.
Oh, very reasonable.
We're not trying, you know. So you got pre-registration, a family of four, $55, an individual, $30, seniors, $20, a child, additional child after the two is $10.
Wow.
You know, you got meals, lunches at $10. You got dinner
mm-hmm.
and entertainment at $30. And
very
like I said, you got, you know, so all of that is before, and then you got $10 for skating on Saturday night, which is normally $13. So all of that is pre-registration.
You come after the
6th, then the price increases. Registration for 4 goes up, and everything else goes up.
Yeah.
But the July 20th cruise, the deadline for us, because we have to, you know, you have to secure the boat, you have to secure, we had to have a certain number of people.
People, yeah.
So we have to send that money in to secure that so that if you come afterwards, you know, it's a big boat. I'm pretty sure you can come over and be with us, but you're going to pay a whole lot more, to get on the boat.
Yes. So once again, you know, Brother Imam, you know, those, you can't sit on the fence, on this here. You want to be a part of that. You don't want to miss that. You don't want to go all the way to Detroit and come to Inkster, Michigan and miss out on the cruise. Oh, you don't want to hear about it. You want to know about it and experience it on your own. Give that website again. How will they go on? How will they be able to pay for it before the deadline? This is for the cruise, July the 20th, and we're talking about 1 week, 1 week from now, 1 week, got to have your money in, and it's a very reasonable price. And what I like to say is I don't get paid for any of this. I really don't. I just have to support the good because as a learned Muslim, I have to support the good, and this is good. And they're keeping with the thinking and the sensitivity that our beloved leader, I got opportunity to know and meet the Imam and talk with him, and I know he did not like gouging his community, and the DNA do not do that. They don't gouge. It's very reasonably priced, and what Imam Munir Muhammad has not said, and I hope he got some those cooks. Those excellent cooks out there that I like so much that treat me so well.
mm-hmm. yeah, they,
and
yeah,
maybe
they,
a bean
yeah.
and maybe a bean pie come my way. You
hey,
know who I was
hey,
talking
hey.
About out there, Brother
hey.
Muhammad. Hey. Imam Muhammad.
Yeah, yeah.
You know who I'm
yeah,
talking
might.
About. You know who I'm talking about, that it is prepared by our own people. You're not going to get better food. And I'm not saying that just to be saying it. It's nothing for me to gain in regards to that. I'm just only being truthful with you. You see, you don't have to worry about anything. Everything is halal. And those sisters, in our language, they know how to burn. I guarantee you. I guarantee you. You're going to walk away talking about just the food. that serve there.
Mark, I'm gonna make you upset, man.
You gonna make me upset?
The kids at CMS Summer Camp, they getting what you get at the convention. They getting it, 3 meals a day from the same cooks at the convention.
Ah, man, I wish I could see. I could be in the summer camp.
They probably upset with me right now, but they had a long day. Tomorrow we take the kids to an amusement park so they get a chance to relax and
It's always balanced what you all have for them, and Camp be doing an excellent job. And I think that my community going to be very well pleased to know about the camp, how you include the children. You all always include our young people. You want to hear from them. It can't be underscored in terms of even those, what we can say, now have become alumni in terms of looking for them, seeing them as leaders, future leaders, and all, and their insight. This is also the teachings of Imam W.D. Muhammad. This is very, very important. We have to prepare our children and give the baton to them and allow them to be a part of this. This is the growth and development that Imam Muhammad would want in our community, and this is being done and demonstrated. So what a beautiful thing. So alhamdulillah, and Brother Imam, so that really is the highlight of Sunday in terms of the cruise. What time, you said sunset, so we're looking at that time
technically they call it the sunset cruise, but we load at 6, and the cruise is actually between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m.
Okay. So, alhamdulillah, anything else you want to say in terms of Sunday, or has that become a relaxation day pretty much?
We get out real early. You know how we always release everyone early on Sunday, so everybody gets a chance to relax and go back. We all travel there together. You know, we're planning on having our buses available to transport all the believers that want to go together. We're planning to make that easy, brotherly, and sisterly, loving trip.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. And that's another thing, too. I really like that. They look out for the seniors. The old people like me be stumbling and bumbling. They treat you like royalty. So, alhamdulillah. So, Brother Imam, we got one more day here. Those who stick and stay and who do not go away, what are we looking at Monday, Brother Imam?
They get a treat. We never tell what it is. They just get a treat.
Okay. So, in other words, Brother Imam, if it's a treat and you don't tell what it is, it seems like a surprise. You have to stick and stay and don't go away, and then you won't have to ask what it is.
Correct.
You'll know.
But every year, those who stick and stay and don't go away, they are very well pleased with what they are blessed with on Monday.
Allahu Akbar. I just have to say Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah. Praise and thanks belongs to Allah. So, boy, I tell you, I'm already fired up, you know, and looking forward to this year, 2023. Some big changes have been made already, and there's probably some things still in the works, details and all, when you're making plans for a convention. I can say it's a convention like no other convention. You're going to feel right at home. You know, those of you who have been around as long as I have since 1967, just think back when you came in, especially in a major city, and you actually went to the Shabazz restaurant. You took your clothes to the Shabazz cleaners. You got your hair cut at the Shabazz barbershop, and the sisters got their hair done at the Shabazz beauty shop. You shopped in the Shabazz market, or you went to the Shabazz book and record store and got your publications and all of that, and the other things that many others have experienced under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, this is an experience that you don't want to hear about. You want to have that experience yourself. Don't cheat yourself. You know, treat yourself, you know, to this experience. That can be very invigorating, motivating, inspirational in terms of being fired up and then coming back to your respective masajids and Islamic centers after going to this convention and began to establish more in terms of building model community life. So once again, I'm going to go to our engineers to see if there's any hands is up. Or what? And everybody just sitting on their hands today, tonight, or what? Just taking the information in. So I'm going to give Brother Imam Muhammad one more opportunity to say how you register, get your money in for the cruise on time and all of that. Rashid, salam, talk to me, bruh. Man, I'm excited already, bruh.
Oh, I am too, Mark. I really am. I'm just really excited. But there are no hands in the air, so you may want to just have him share with the audience
okay.
All the details.
Okay. All right.
And by the way, assalamu alaikum, brother, man. Assalamu alaikum. I just want to get the greeting.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. So Rashid said he's already counting his dollars. I know he got big money, so.
Well,
put you on blast, Rashid. It's all right. Imam Muhammad said, we shouldn't be ashamed. We want to have some millionaires in this community.
Right.
And
Mark, we do have a hand raised. We do have somebody who's raised the hand. Okay.
Let's see what they have on their mind real quick.
All righty. Just one second here. All right, 314-305. State your name. Tell us where you're calling from.
I know who that is.
Oh, wow. Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Who are you? Where are you calling from, Sister Donna?
I'm calling from St. Louis. Now, I have been up there to Inkster, and it is an absolute wonderful time. And as you say, the bean pies are to oh, my God. They are to die for. They are just simply the best.
Oh, yes.
But I did, if I could just ask the brothers something. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people are going online and doing a lot of things online. But you have to remember, our community is of an age where a lot of us don't go online. So is there any way we can communicate with you? Call a phone, have a phone number, some way we can get in touch with you, a mailing address so that we can go the old-fashioned way.
Oh, good question.
As far as communicating.
Yes, ma'am. That's an excellent point. Appreciate that. DNA Muslim Convention, P.O. Box 12486, Durham,
yeah.
North Carolina. 27713, and if you go to the website, well, you said yeah, okay. Hard
no, well, you know, brother, ma'am, you know, yeah. I'm going to ask you to repeat that, and thank Sister Donna for speaking up on behalf of the seniors and pioneers that may want to attend. So if you can do it one more time, just a little bit slower, so that they can get that information. I'm going to ask my engineer, Rashid Salam. Please take that down so that they can call him and get that information just in case they don't. So please, Brother Imam, if you would, give it one more time.
DNA annual, DNA, which is Detroit Noble Annual Muslim Convention, P.O. Box 12486, Durham, North Carolina, D-U-R-H-A-M, 27713,
And I'll give you two phone numbers. 336-558-6699. And she going to holler and fuss at me. Man, let me give you the other number.
Yeah, you can repeat that one more time, too, if you would.
336-558-6699. And the other number, 919-321-7202. 919-321-7202.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. And thank Sister Donna, for asking that question, because she asked a question that might be a question on a lot of people's mind in terms of that. And that seemed to be very, very thoughtful. Your committee, I have to commend your committee for looking at that, for the seniors, the pioneers that want to attend. It gives them opportunity to call and get additional information, ask any questions, and they can just send a check or money order in, and it'll already be paid on time, get that early bird special. So, Brother Imam, we're closing down the session here on the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, and want to give you opportunity, any last words that you would like to leave or any additional information that you would like to leave with our radio listening audience. Imam Munir Muhammad.
Yes, sir. You said earlier you quoted a verse, "Qad aflaha al-mu'minun," out of Surah, The Believers. And God says, no doubt, that those who will prosper will be those who will be active in demonstrating their belief.
Mm-hmm.
So the invitation is for the believers to step up and feel invited to our working conventions. Now, if you don't have a spirit to work, I'm not going to tell you not to come, but you're going to feel very uncomfortable, because we work, everybody, because we take pride in being who we are and who we're representing and who we're trying to introduce to the general public, the language and insights of our leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad. So he reminded us that this is about work. So it's a working convention. And that we really try to invite the believers to join us. And this is why the theme is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Building a community is ordered by God. It is a mission. Not an occasional thing, not an accidental thing. It's a mission. Join in the work to establish our life. That's an invite from the committee, inviting all the believers to join us in this work. This is not an exclusive club. Imam Pasha is not the exclusive leader. We are all a part of a team, and we value being a part of a team, and we are honored that we do have him as one of the leaders leading the way. And so we invite the believers to join us and come and join us at our annual fellowship time of our convention, and to be in your own facility. And for those who are afraid to come indoors and be locked indoors, you'll come and be surprised that we are outside under tents in our own courtyards in our buildings.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. Yes, and that was a wonderful time and a wonderful experience. I want to thank you, Imam Munir Muhammad, for accepting my invitation and coming on and disseminating information, and inshallah, God willing, we'll look at maybe trying to get you back, maybe some one time, maybe a couple of weeks just before the event, see how things are developing and everything. We really appreciate you Make sure that you extend the greetings to Imam Ezekiel Pasha from me and to the other believers, and especially those cooks, and to our young people there. Keep up the great work. God's peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. You're welcome.
Alhamdulillah. There you have it as we conclude tonight's programming on the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. I want to thank a special thanks to Imam Munir Muhammad, and also thanks to our radio listening audience. A special, special thanks go to our engineer, Rashid Salam, always doing an excellent job. And we want you to know the beat goes on as tomorrow is the Sister Learning Lab, which is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Karan Shakir from the Jewel of the South. That is Atlanta, Georgia. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed. That begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. The Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, we have an outstanding couple, elderly couple. They have a very intriguing marriage narrative you don't want to miss. And then Friday is Salatul Jumu'ah Day, Muslim worldwide. And those who are immobilized can't get out and about. You can come back to IWDM Radio, start at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time with Imam Mikhail Sahir. Longest running production here on IWDM Radio is also with the very distinguished Imam Mikhail Sahir. Words Make People. It starts at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central, 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. The beginning of the week, my good brother and friend, the very distinguished Imam Nazim Pasha, as he hosts Al-Islam. That's ABC, Al-Islam-based conversation. Relative still a new production here on IWDM Radio. Please tune in. Let family, friends, colleagues, neighbors, community members know about our Islam-based conversation. It's each and every Monday evening starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And it's followed on Tuesday with the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam, his off-returning guest, co-host there, is Instructor Abdul Shaheed, as they talk about the science of your health in you learning lab, a learning lab that you have to bring your pen and your notebook, because a lot of great terminology and information is introduced. That's each and every Tuesday starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, the science of your health in you learning lab with the very distinguished Rashid Salam. So, and then Wednesday, that's how you just heard it tonight, Dr. Patricia Slaudine out of Miami, Florida. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed, on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. I want to also say that Rashid Salam, each and every first Wednesday, he sits in for her. We don't miss a beat in that regard. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, and it's followed by what you just heard live, the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. We have very distinguished, esteemed guests, such as you just heard tonight, Imam Munir Muhammad graced us, and that starts at 8 p.m. Eastern, it's 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Last but not least, don't forget your Muslim Journal. Keep your subscription up if you have the wherewithal. Remember, a family member, a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, a community member, maybe a pioneer, or your local library where many can read the Muslim Journal. So until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.
Allah really loved me. Yes,
out of love. Allah really loved me. Yes, it's true. And for his love and mercy, there is nothing I wouldn't do. I wouldn't do. He's there. Every situation, he's there. Nation after nation, he's there. With the imams of our mission, he's there. To change the world's condition, Allah really loves me. Yes, he does. He showers down his mercy in raindrops of love. Allah really loves me. Yes, it's true.
Yes, and thank you. And Allah does love us. We should love Allah. Until